We are studying a new Sefer, Sefer Shemot. And we're up to the first parasha in Sefer Shemot, Parashat Shemot. I'd like to say a big Hiddush today in the parasha. It's a Hiddush not based on anything from the Kabbalah or from the esoteric departments of the Torah. But it's very fundamental. It's very basic Jewish principles that I want to convey this afternoon. And to me, what I'm going to say is actually a big Hiddush in the Pesukim. God comes to Moshe Rabbeinu at the burning bush, and he tells Moshe Rabbeinu, take the Jewish people out of Egypt. And Moshe Rabbeinu responds, in one of his responses, Vayomer Moshe el Adonai, Vi Adonai, please God, Lo ish devarim anochi, I'm not a man of words. Gam etemol, gam meshelshom. Not yesterday and not the day before. Gam me'azda bircha el abdecha, from when the first time you spoke to me, ki kevad peh uchvad lashon anochi. I have a heavy tongue. It seems that Moshe Rabbeinu gives a legitimate excuse that he's not a communicator, as great as he is, but you have to talk to Paro. So he blames it on his lack of eloquence. And we know that Moshe Rabbeinu did have a speech impediment. That's a fact. When Moshe Rabbeinu was in the palace, exactly, everybody knows the story of the Midrash that he took Paro's crown and he put it on his head as a baby. And while Paro thought it was amusing, but Paro's advisors thought that it was a bad omen, that he's going after the crown of the king. And Paro said, no, he's a kid, he doesn't know, he just sees the shiny diamonds and he gets excited. They said, there's one way to test it. So they put shiny gold in front of him and the fire, coals. Both are shiny. So of course Moshe Rabbeinu's hands went towards the gold. But the Malach came and pushed his hands to the fire. And he grabbed the fire and his hands were hot, so he put his fingers in his mouth. And that's how he burnt his tongue. So the Paro said, you see, he's a kid, he doesn't even know. He went after the fire. He sees something shiny, what does he know? God saved him. So he was kevad peh v'chvad lashon, that's for sure. He definitely had a speech impediment. We cannot deny that. The question that we have on these pesukim is, maybe it's a little technical for you, but what does he mean when he says, lo ish devarim anochi, I got it, I'm not a man of words, gam metemol gam mishulshom. Not yesterday and not the day before. What does those words mean? Yesterday and the day before? First of all, it's not true. He wasn't a man of words from when he was a baby. That's before yesterday and that's before the day before. And anyway, who cares when he became speech impeded? And let's say he became speech impeded 5 minutes ago. He also can't go. What do I care with Temel? What does that got to do with anything? He should say, Lo ish devarim anochi, period. What is it? Gam mitemol, gam mitshulshom. This is one of the questions that I had on these pesukim. Anyway, God tells Moshe Rabbeinu also in this parasha, what do you have in your hand? He says, I have a stick. He says, take the stick and throw it on the floor, and it turned into a snake. The Torah doesn't tell us why it turned into a snake. Why didn't it turn into a crocodile? Why not into an octopus? It could turn into a different reptile. For some reason, it turned into a snake. And then later on, when God tells Moshe Rabbeinu in next week's parasha to go to Paro to make the plagues, God says, he's hanging out by the river. Make sure you take the stick with you that turned into a snake, and take that stick and go. What does the snake have to do with this story? Hashem's making a big deal out of the snake. The stick turned into a snake, and then even, if you remember, at the end of this week's parasha, when God, Moshe goes to Paro for the first time, he throws the stick on the floor, it turns into a snake. It has to do with something with a snake, I'm not too sure exactly, but clearly there's something to do with a snake over here. Oh, you know everything. Adam and Eve, did you hear the snake? You went back to Adam and Eve? I got you thinking. Okay, very good. You're thinking good. You're thinking good. Listen to something else in the parasha. Something else in the parasha towards the end. Towards the end when it says in the pasuk, that Paro used to provide the cement, and they had a quota of bricks. And then all of a sudden Paro says, you know something, I'm not giving them the cement anymore. They have to collect their own cement, and the quota of the bricks doesn't change. So the Pasuk says, I'm reading in Perek He, Pasuk, Pasuk Zayin, Pasuk Chet, let's see, oh, Pasuk Yudal. Actually, let's go even before that. Let's go before that. The Pasuk says, Lo tosifu natet teven na'am, Pasuk Zayin Chet. Don't give them any more straw and cement. Ve'et matkonet ha'lebenim, and the quota of bricks, asher hem osim temol shelshom, that they made yesterday and the day before, tasimu alehem. Lo tigreu, they stop to make the same amount. So on these words, temol shelshom, there's a very interesting comment of the Baal HaTurim. The Baal HaTurim is a commentator on the Torah, Rabbeinu Yaakov Baal HaTurim. He has a very unique style of saying Dirash on the Pesukim. His genius was, he knew the whole Tanakh by heart. So he knows every time a certain word is in Tanakh. I could also know that today because I have a computer. I could type the word into the computer and it tells me in 1 second how many times that word is in Tanakh. The Baal HaTurim didn't have a computer. It was in his head. So every time he would see a word in the Torah, he would say, oh, that word is in this book, that book, this book, this book, this book. On the spot he would do it, and then he would start saying, well, there must be a connection between this pasuk and that pasuk, and this, and this, because he connected the words. So on this pasuk that Paro says, and they have to make the same amount of bricks that they made yesterday and the day before, temol shelshom, he says there's only one other time in Tanakh that it says the words temol shelshom. Now by Moshe it said mitemol shelshom. There's a mem, the mitemol. There's only one other place in Tanakh where it says Temol Shelshom. He quotes it. He says Bet b'Mesorah twice, according to the tradition. Over here, and then he says in Megillat Rut. Oddly enough, when Rut, that came from Moab, she was Rut HaMoaviyah. She converted to become Jewish. So what does it say about her when she came to convert? And she was a Giyoret Tzedek, she was a righteous Giyoret. So she gets a blessing. What's the blessing that they give her? Yeshalem Adonai Pa'olech. Uti maskurtech shelema. That God should bless you. You should have complete reward for what you did, that you joined our nation. El am asher lo yada'at temol shelshom. You joined a nation that you didn't know, not yesterday and not the day before. So the Baal HaTurim says, hey, Temol Shelshom, Beirut. Asher lo yada'at Temol Shelshom, that you joined a nation, Asher lo yada'at Temol Shelshom. And it says by Paro, so sometimes he links the two. So he says, and I quote, Rut ba'a il'am Asher lo yada'at Temol Shelshom. Rut came to a nation, I'm explaining it simply, that she didn't know, it's a new nation, she didn't know yesterday, the day before. And what did the Jewish people do to Ruth? V'karbuha, they brought her close, they accepted her. So God says, you accepted Ruth, lachen yatzah mimenu goel. Who came out of Ruth? The Mashiach. And what's the Mashiach going to do to the Jewish people? V'yigalem, he's going to redeem us. We did the right thing. V'yisrael ba'u l'mitzrayim, the Jewish people came to the Egyptians. Asher lo yad'utem ol tzotzom. We never knew, we never had anything to do with the Egyptians. We were strangers. We came to the Egyptians, and what did they do to us? V'dahakum. They made us work. They threw our babies in the water. Ah, so God says, Lachen yatzu mehem Moshe, sheika otam be'eser makor. That's why God brought them, the 10 plagues, and punished them. Well, we have to see what this Baal HaTurim means. But somehow he's connecting the Temol Shelshom of Ruth and the Temol Shelshom of the Moshe in Egypt. In order to understand this, ladies, we need to go back to something that's very fundamental in Judaism. There's many midot that we always talk about, personality traits, but the personality trait that probably is the number one trait, I'm telling you now, is number one trait, is the midah called Hakarat HaTov. Hakarat HaTov is gratitude. The Torah places great importance on being Makir Tov. on reciprocating, on recognizing as somebody that did you a kindness to reciprocate, to show a favoritism to somebody that did you a chesed. Hakarat HaTov is so basic that the Hachamim tell us that that's why Jewish people are called Yehudim. Not because we come from Yehuda. I don't know if I come from Yehuda. Maybe I come from Reuven. Maybe I come from Shimon. So that we should be called Reuveni, Shimoni. We're called Yehudi because the word Yehuda comes from the word Lehodot, to thank. And that's the essence of a Jew. Tov Lehodot. But it's not to be Makir Tov. He has to be Makir Tov to his parents. He has to be Makir Tov to his spouse. He has to be Makir Tov to his teachers. To anyone. And you see that this midah is to a certain extreme. There was a great rabbi called Rabbeinu Yitzhak Alfasi. He was one of the Rishonim. We learn his opinion every day in the yeshiva. We read the opinion of the Rif, it's called Rif. Rabbi Yitzhak, Rabbeinu Yitzhak Alfasi. From Fez. And he had a student called the Rim Migas. So the Rim Migas tells a story about the Rif. He says, I remember my rabbi at a certain point in his life was sick. And there was a certain guy in the neighborhood that had a bathhouse. And the Rif went to the bathhouse and he was relieved by going to the bathhouse. It helped him. And he got better. Later on in life, the guy wanted to sell the bathhouse. So he came to the Rif. And he said, Rabbi, could you help me rabbinically make a contract to help me sell the bathhouse? He said, I cannot be involved in the sale of the bathhouse. It helped me when I was sick. I shouldn't be the one that's involved in selling it. Who knows, the guy's going to knock it down. Not that you're not allowed to sell it. Good luck to you. Go find another rabbi. Yeah? Wow, Hakarat HaTov to a bathhouse. And he says, this is the Gemara says, that the well that you drink water from, you're not allowed to throw rocks in. Even though, what's the difference? You drink water, and sometimes after you finish drinking, you pick up a rock up, you throw it in. No. It's not Hakarat HaTov. Hey, but the rock or the well is inanimate. It's not alive. It doesn't know anything. It doesn't matter. When it comes to Hakarat HaTov, even to a bathhouse, didn't we read about Moshe Rabbeinu? He didn't want to hit the water to make makatam because the water saved his life when he was young. And then God told him, take the stick and hit the ground and make the lice. No, I can't. Why? Because the ground saved me when I buried the Egyptian. Wow, Hakarat HaTov even to water, Hakarat HaTov even to the ground. So you see, there's an extreme nature to Hakarat HaTov. One has to be very, very hypersensitive when it comes to this. Moshe Rabbeinu's name. Moshe Rabbeinu is called Moshe. Why? The Gemara says he had 10 names. So it says because when Batya pulled him out of the water, Menamayim Mishitihu. It's a nice name because I drew him out of the water. But why is that the name that stuck? It's not even a religious name. It's just saying he was the one that was pulled out of the water. All the other names talk about Moshe Rabbeinu's greatness. Avi Gedor, Avi Sukkot. Names that, Yekutiel. These are names that represent Moshe Rabbeinu's midot. Moshe is something that happened to him. He was pulled out of the water. And the Midrash says, God says to Batya, you're the one that saved Moshe. Your name is the one that becomes the permanent name. Hakarat HaTov. Wow. So you see the name of Moshe already, every time you call Moshe already, it rings the bell of Hakarat HaTov. Oh. There's an amazing halakha. Halakha says if an Egyptian wants to convert, we can accept him. And after three generations already, he's fully assimilated into the Jewish nation. There's another nation called Ammon and Moab. They can convert, but they can never assimilate with us. They can only marry converts. Ammon and Moab are banned from ever coming into the congregation, even 10 generations, even 100 generations later. Whereas an Egyptian, he converts, he's limited. He's Jewish, but he's limited. He can marry. His son is limited. His grandson already is a third generation. is fully Jewish, fully acclimated into the Kahal. So the rabbis want to know, why we're so lenient on accepting Egyptians into the congregation, and we're so strict on accepting Ammonis and Moabis? That's a good question. A goy is a goy. So the Gemara says in the interpretation, or the Torah says, not Gemara, Torah says, because we owe the Egyptians Hakarat HaTov. We owe them Hakarat HaTov. Not to show, what did they do? Because they threw our babies in the water. What do we owe them Hakarat HaTov to? Because Paro took a bloodbath with the Jewish blood? Because we have to build cities that they destroyed? What's Hakarat HaTov? Ki giri meitim be'arso. They gave you a place to live. Place to live. You're right, it wasn't a five-star hotel. We agree, it wasn't a luxury resort, Egypt. But you lived there. You lived there. They gave you a place to live. And therefore, wow, look at the Torah. Karat HaTov, even to the Egyptians, that wasn't such a comfortable experience. Okay, but what about Ammon and Moab? God said, no, Ammon and Moab, they're banned. You know why? Because they're ingrates. Because where did Ammon and Moab come from? Well, let's go back. When we were traveling in the desert, we passed Ammon and Moab territory. We sent them a message. Please, Mr. Moab, Mr. Ammon, nation, we're thirsty. Could you not give us water? Could you sell us water? Now, if I'm Ammon, I say, I make Hezbon, by the way. There's 3 million Jews. If everybody buys two bottles of water, if it's $1 a bottle, that's $6 million. Boom. In one day we make $6 million. Anything wrong with that? And then we'll sell them sandwiches also. If everybody buys a sandwich for $2, we'll make $12 million. Well, you can do the math. We didn't ask them for tzedakah. We didn't say, please, be kor holin, give us free lunch. We said, we want to pay. If I'm Ammon or Moab, I say, Baruch Abba. I open up a kiosk and I... And you want to say, oh, anti-Semites, so let them overcharge us. Overcharge us, no problem. But you know what they said? No, starve to death, we're not interested. Die of thirst, we don't want to even sell it to you. Wow. So God says, anti-Semites like that? You're banned. I'm going to ask a simple question. What, and you think the Egyptians liked us? The Egyptians hated us also. If you're going to ban converts because of anti-Semitism, they all hate us. So now what? All of a sudden the Torah's measuring. But they hate you worse. So they hate us, they're all the same. What are you talking about? Ammon and Moab's worse than anti-Semite than Mitzrayim is? It's not because they hate us. God is hating, they all hate you. But the difference is, hold it. Where does Ammon and Moab come from? Their great-great-grandfather is a man called Lot. And Lot was in Sodom. Lot was supposed to die in Sodom. And our grandfather, Abraham, risked his life to save your grandfather. Where's that character? You won't even sell us a glass of water? You wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for us. That God says we cannot tolerate. Anti-Semitism, the fact that you hate us to death, we could live with that. But the fact that you can't reciprocate, which means, you know what they should have done? They should have said, hey, you're the children of Abraham. Free water for everyone. Not free water, free milkshakes for everyone. Free cappuccinos for everyone. No, we're not asking for a free cup of coffee. We're not asking for a free cup of coffee. We're paying. And we don't want coffee, we want water. And we want bread, that's what they give you in jail. And you know what Ammon and Moab said? We don't care who your grandfather is. We don't know who your grandfather is. God says, oh, ho, ho, ho. Ingrates! Ingrates! This we don't have anything to do with. We cannot filter in the genes of the ingrate into the Yehudi chromosomes. We cannot. There's a story in the Navi of Yehoash. Yehoash was one of the kings. Yehoash, he was a king from Yehuda, from the Davidic dynasty. At that time they were killing all the kings. And Yehoash was saved by the Kohen Gadol at the time. His name is Yehoyada. Yehoyada, the Kohen Gadol, took Yoash and put him in the Kodesh Kodeshim and hid him. So when the enemies were killing all the Davidic dynasty, they thought they got everybody. But meanwhile, there was one survivor. It's good, because if they would have got everybody, there's no Mashiach. So they hid the Yehoyada, fed him, and gave him what to change his pamper. He was a baby. Imagine an infant in the cradle in the Kodesh Kodeshim. But he had no choice, because that's the last place they would look for him. It's a miracle that he was able to live even in the Kodesh Kodeshim. He's a baby. How did he live? The Kohen Gadol goes once a year. And Yoash lived in the Kodesh Kodeshim for 7 years. 7 years. After all the enemies left, Yehoyada told Yoash, you could go out now. Baruch Hashem, there's no more enemies. And they made him the king. Ben Sheva Shanim, Yoash Bemolcho. He became king at 7. Became king at 7. And as long as Yehoyada, his Rebbe, was alive, Yoash was a good boy. Religious. He believed in God. After Yehoyada died, the people came to Yehoash and they told him, by the way, you know that you're God? I'm God. We talk about God. God is God. I'm Yehoash. Listen, Yehoash, don't be so humble. You lived in the Kodesh Kodeshim for 7 years. Who could live in the Kodesh Kodeshim for 7 years? And they spoke to him like this for a while until they coaxed him into thinking that he's actually God. And all of a sudden, Yoash becomes a denier of God, and he becomes a Rasha, and after Yehoyada passed away. Okay, that's bad enough, that they were able to sway his brain. All of a sudden, a prophet comes, the prophet called Zechariah. Zechariah the Navi says, hey, what are you doing? What kind of business is this? He gave him Musar. What does Yoash do? He kills Zechariah. He has Zechariah killed. Oh, that's a terrible crime. So now it says, you killed the prophet? How could you kill the prophet? Zechariah Navi. So the Navi says, well, what goes around comes around. Shortly thereafter, there was a coup d'etat against Yoash, and they killed him. But listen to the pasuk. Listen to the pasuk that says when Yoash died. It's in the book of Zechariah. Perek Chavdalet. Ve'ele hamitkasherim alav. It gives us the names of the murderers that killed Yoash. Zeved ben Shama'at ha'amonit ve'yehozavad ben Shimrit ha'mo'avit. What are names? What names? But the Torah went out of its way to tell us that the murderers, one of them was from Ammon and one of them was from Moab. So Rashi on the spot says, you need to know where they came from. If this guy was from Algeria and this guy was from Sudan, what do I care? He's from Ammon, he's from Moab. So they come along and say, big Hiddush. They tell us the Hiddush of Midah Keneged Midah. You know what midah keneged midah means? Measure for measure. What goes around comes around. In English they call that karma. Things have a way of returning to a person. The behavior of a person attracts similar behavior to himself. What do we know about Ammon and Moab? Those were the two nations that were ingrates. They had no hakarat hatov. They forgot what Avraham Avinu did for Lot. When we want to give the classic example of an ingrate, who do we think of? Ammon and Moab. God says they're going to be the ones to kill Yehoash. You know why? Because he killed Zechariah. You know who Zechariah was? Zechariah was the son of Yehoyada. Yehoyada is the one that saved Yehoash's life. He raised him in the Kodesh Kodashim for 7 years. And now your thank you card is you killed Yehoyada's son Zechariah in cold blood? Where's the Hakarat HaTov? So God says, let the nation of Ammon and Moab that are the experts in ingrate, that the experts are not showing gratitude, let them kill Yehoash, who also followed the nature of Ammon and Moab, which means you get what you deserve. Even the sword that killed you comes from a likely place. Lim bimino. Not any sword. Let the sword of Ammon and Moab come. A nation that is proficient in not showing gratitude. A nation that is very, very meticulous in not showing hakarat tov. Let them kill Yehoash. You have the same trait. Although Yehoash was Jewish, but you're acting like Ammon and Moab. That's called midah keneged midah. Oh. There's a rabbi called Rav Hida, Rabbeinu Chaim Yosef David Azulai. He wrote a sefer called Devarim Ahadim. Rabbeinu Chaim Yosef says a big hiddush. I must admit, I didn't know this hiddush till now when I started preparing the shiur today, or this week. He says, amazing. He says, I don't understand. God comes to tell Moshe, take the people out of Egypt. And Moshe Rabbeinu was hesitant. I'm not a speaker. Who cares, speaker? Moshe Rabbeinu, the people are suffering. Go take them out of Egypt. People are dying in Egypt. And now you're discussing whether you're an eloquent speaker or not an eloquent speaker. Go take them out of Egypt. What kind of business is this over here? Moshe Rabbeinu is a big tzaddik. Why is he delaying such a big mitzvah to save the Jewish people? If I call up the Hatzalah, somebody calls Hatzalah, listen, there's an emergency, could you come help? No, I'm not the right one, somebody else do it, I'm not a good speaker. But then you think somebody's dying. Call somebody else. What's it called? Somebody? I'm calling you, it's an emergency. This is not an emergency of one person, it's an emergency of millions of people. And Moshe Rabbeinu saying, no, let somebody else go. There has to be a good reason that Moshe Rabbeinu had. There has to be a good reason, Hida says. You know what he says the reason was? Moshe Rabbeinu says, God Almighty, I have a problem. You ask me to go beat up Paro? Paro's my stepfather. I was raised on his lap. His daughter saved my life. I was raised in the palace of Egypt. How are you asking me to go do something? I have a karata tov to them, as bad as they are, as terrible as they are. How can I go? The well that fed me water, you ask me to go throw a rock in it? This is what Nafita says, that Moshe Rabbeinu could not go because he felt it's against the dinim of a karata tov. So I ask, so what? Okay, so it's such a big thing. Yes, it's a big thing. You know why it's a big thing? I'll tell you why it's a big thing. You remember when Moshe Rabbeinu eventually goes to Paro and he tells Paro, Paro, Yudke Vavke came and told me to take the Jewish people out of Egypt. What is Paro's response to that? I never heard of him. Mi Hashem. What are you talking? You never heard of him? Impossible. Everybody heard of God in those days. Basically what Paro was saying, I don't believe in it. Doesn't mean anything. Doesn't talk to me. I have nothing to do with God. Now I want to ask you a question. The Gemara says Paro basically was an atheist. Paro was an atheist. Where did his atheism come from? Did it come from reading Darwinism? Did it come from reading books on evolution? Where does it, going on the internet, Google, where did he become an atheist from? You can always trace it back. This guy, he became an atheist when he was young, he went to some college and he had a professor, and the professor corrupted his mind. There's always a line you could trace it back where a person becomes an atheist. You say, what do you want, Rabbi? He was born in communist Russia. There's no God, godless. He was born in China. A godless society. So I'm asking you a question. Where did the atheism of Paro come from? So again, the Gemara says, Paro says, Lo yadahti et Hashem. I don't know who God is. So the Gemara says, Ah, Lo yadahti. Those words, Lo yadahti. Hey, deja vu. We heard those words before. But Yaakov Melech Hadash al Misraim, Hashem Lo yadah et Yosef. Paro becomes the king. And all of a sudden, he has a meeting. And he says, these Jews, they're a threat. The Jews are very disloyal citizens of the country. We need to make decrees against them. So somebody raises their hands and, oh, excuse me, the Jews are actually the most patriotic. These are the children of Yosef. Yosef was the viceroy of Egypt. He's the one that saved Egypt from collapse. If it wasn't for Yosef, there'd be no Egypt, and Paro, you wouldn't be the king. This is happening in the meeting. You know what Paro answers? I never heard of him. I don't know who you're talking about. You don't know what we're talking about. Is that possible? Could there be a United States president that never heard of George Washington? Imagine you go to a president. Maybe he never saw George Washington. But if you go to a United States president, you tell him, Abe Lincoln. Abe Lincoln? No, you're not. You never heard of the guy. Who's Abe Lincoln? Who's Abe Lincoln? I'm not saying he's the biggest Sadiq, but Americans have to know who the patriots are of the country. Yosef is in every history book. There must have been monuments all over Egypt. Safnat Panea. Who doesn't know Yosef? The whole world knew Yosef. Ladies, there was a famine in the Middle East. The only country that had food was Egypt, and the one that's giving out the food is Yosef. So everybody had a meeting with Yosef to get food. Yosef was world renowned. Those days they didn't have iPhones, but if there was iPhones, there would be a picture. Everybody would go to Yosef and take a picture of him because he was handsome, he was giving out the food. Who doesn't know Yosef? There's one guy that doesn't know Yosef. Paro, I never heard of the guy. He heard of him. He didn't want to know from him. Because if he remembers Yosef, how can he persecute his children? How can he persecute the... You know what the Jews should have been in Egypt? Paro should have got up and said, Rabotai, we're a decent society. The Jews do not have to pay taxes. The Jews are able to park wherever they want. Free parking for the Jews. They don't have to worry about alternate side. And all the laws do not apply to Am Yisrael. Why? Listen, Agaradatov, their grandfather. Now, I'm not expecting Paro to do that, by the way. But instead, what does he do? Jews? We're going to bathe in their blood. Wow. That's what you do to the children of Yosef? You bathe in their blood? Hashem lo yada'at Yosef. You know what the Gemara says? It starts with that. But it doesn't end with Yosef. You know where it ends with? Lo yada'ati et Hashem. Ladies, I just said a big thing. Eventually, that midah, if you leave it unchecked, it's a bad cell. If you don't nip it in the bud at that point over there, it starts to grow. And all of a sudden, you know what you end up saying? Who's God? I made my own money. God didn't do anything for me. I don't owe God anything. I don't have to go to the mikveh. I don't have to light candles. I don't have to put tzitzit on my garment. I could say whatever I want. Hey, God gave you a tongue. God, but God, God gave me nothing. I'm my mother, my father, nothing. I don't know anybody anything. It leads to eventually denying God. The Gemara's drawing this direct line. Lo yada'at Yosef, lo yada'ati et Hashem. Bingo, straight. So Moshe Rabbeinu's worried. Moshe Rabbeinu says, how can I go? Moshe Rabbeinu is the biggest ma'amin in Hashem. Now God's telling him, go. You're asking me to be a disbeliever? How could I go and do this to the Egyptians that did so much for me when I was young? It's affecting this. This will affect my relationship with God. That's why he cannot go. Beautiful Hiddush. What's God's answer? God's answer is an amazing answer. This is the Chiddush says. He says, you're right, Moshe. It wouldn't be gracious for you to go. That's why you have to go. That's why I have to go. God didn't say, no, it's okay. It's fine. God said, no, you're right. That's why I'm choosing you. That's why you're choosing me. He says, because you know this midah keneged midah. We need to give Paro a taste of his own medicine. Let the guy that says, Asher lo yadat Yosef, and he comes along and persecutes the Jewish people, now midah keneged midah, now the karma will start to kick in. All of a sudden, let also somebody that doesn't have hakarat hatov come and punish the guy that doesn't have hakarat hatov. You understand what's happening here? I'm sure when Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Egypt with his stick to hit Paro on the head, Paro tells him, hey, don't you have any hakarat hatov? And you? You have hakarat hatov? If you had a katatatov, you wouldn't be enslaving us. So God sent me to punish you. Just like he sent Amon and Moab to kill Yoash. He sends Moshe Rabbeinu precisely because it's not a katatatov. And at that point, God obviously will tell Moshe, don't worry, it won't bring any bad out into you. It won't lead to denying God. If I'm telling you to go, nothing bad's going to happen. So Moshe Rabbeinu is okay, you tell me nothing bad's going to happen. And that's why he tells him, take your stick and throw it on the floor. Why? Who was the first species in creation that was an ingrate? The snake, of course. God created the snake with a speech, with legs. The snake was animated. The snake was looking around at all the other animals. There's no talking animals. The horse didn't talk, the cows didn't talk, the kangaroo, nobody talks. Only Adam, Hava, and the snake. The snake should have said, you know something, wow, I'm lucky, I could have been like a cow all day long. Moo, 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 ba, 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 ba. Here I have dibur. Instead of saying Tehillim, Ashrei Ish, Asher Lo Halach, Ba'asat Resha'im, reading Tehillim all day long. Hallelujah, hallelujah, bekocho. What did he do? He says, Mrs. Hava, Hava, come over here, Hava, come over here. Come over here. Why don't you eat from the tree? I'm allowed. You're allowed. Don't listen to God. I gave you a mouth. You're the only one that has a mouth in this world besides humans. And you went and you used your mouth in order to seduce Abba. You kafui tov. So God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, you know why you're the one that's going to go fight Paro? Give me a stick. Take your stick. Throw it on the floor. It comes a snake. This is because Paro's a nahash. Paro's nahash. He followed, which means if you went to the city of ingrates to have a flag, you know what the flag is? A snake. That's the emblem. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the snake. That's what they worship. Because they have they're a bunch of ingrates. That's why it turns into a snake. Oh, how does it fit into the Pesukim? Only because I'm presbyteros, I need to go officiate a ceremony at 2 o'clock in the yeshiva. But I'll tell you how it fits into the Pesukim. Hakarat HaTov is something that you have to have a good memory for Hakarat HaTov, for things that happened to you many years ago. The Tzaddikim, they always remember things that happened many years ago. There was one rabbi, the Baba Varebi's original one. He walks into a wedding, he sees a fellow, he goes, he hugs him, he kisses him, big kavod. The rabbi's son goes to the guy, how come my father's giving you so much respect? He says, always, whenever your father sees me, he gives me kavod melachim. So why? He says, 50 years ago, during the war, your father needed to make a phone call. He came into my house, I let him make a phone call. He doesn't let me forget it. 50 years later, oh, I was in trouble, you let me use your phone, he hugs me, kisses. Tzaddikim, they have such a karat hatov, even for many years later. The Baal Shem Tov used to go to the mikveh every day. One day the goy saw him going to the mikveh, it was all icy. So the goy went and he put some straw on the floor so he could walk. So his foot doesn't stick to the dry ice. Oh, the Baal Shem gave him the beracha, arichut yamim. The guy lived 100 years old. Goy, karat hatov. Tzaddikim are very careful with this. Yeah, they remember. You see, people, simple people, they only remember, what did you do to me today? What have you done for me lately? Today you did something for me, good. After 1 year, already statute of limitations. Statute of limitations, well, I passed already. It's over. 3 years ago, a lady called me up and says, Rabbi Eli, she says her name. I'm not going to say it. She says her name. The name sounds familiar. Okay, well, she continues talking. She said, I need to ask you a favor. Of course, what's the favor you want? I have a shul for my husband. Could you come there maybe Motzei Shabbat and give a derash over there? Every person that calls me to give a derash in the shul, I don't know. Tell me who you are again. She says her name. I said, why does this name sound familiar? She says, I was your first grade teacher. I said, yes, I remember, of course. She says, I still have your mahberet. He says, because I knew one day you're going to be a big rabbi, so I saved your mahberet with the aleph, bet, gimel, dalet, so I could say I taught you. And if I have, where are you? I haven't heard of you. Whoever sees their first grade teacher. So I said to myself, and of course I'll come. How can I show Hakarat HaTov to a first grade teacher? She taught, I wouldn't know how to read if it wasn't for this lady. I wouldn't know aleph, bet. How can I give a class if it wasn't this lady? And I'm sure she was underpaid, I'm sure, at the time, like all teachers are. And I'm sure they never paid her on time. What a tzaddiket. She came to school every day with a smile. And she taught me. That's the obligation of Hakarat HaTov. Yeah. Somebody else might say, 30 years ago, what's the difference? Aleph Bet, what did she teach me? Aleph Bet, I went to yeshiva, I learned Gemara, what did she teach me? Nothing. And anyway, she was getting paid. I don't care if she was underpaid or not. She got paid. When she came to teach me, she came to get a paycheck. There's some people that always look at ways not to say thank you. They always find a way why they're not obligated to show Hakarat HaTov. Well, we don't think that way. Even though it's an old story. So listen to the Pesukim. The Pesukim I read as follows. Vayomer Moshe l'Hashem v'Adoni. Lo ish devarim anochi. Doesn't mean I don't know how to speak. I'm not the right one. Lo ish devarim. I'm not the right one to come and communicate this message. You know why? Gam mitemol, gam mishilshom. Because I remember what happened yesterday and the day before. I remember my past. My past wasn't over here with you, God. My past was in Egypt. Gam mitemol, gam mishilshom is Moshe Rabbeinu's way of saying, God, I remember. I didn't forget what the Egyptians did for me. And therefore, ki chevad peh v'chevad lashon. Not that I have a speech impediment. My tongue is heavy to do such a job. How can I go speak harsh words against Paro that I was sat in his lap? Gam mitemol, gam mishilshom. And this is what the Baal HaTurim said. The Baal HaTurim said, there's only two times that it says Temol Shilshom. One is by the Egyptians with the bricks, and one is by Rut. And what's the language of the Baal HaTurim? Listen to the language now, it's incredible language. Rut, Ba'a il'am, Rut came to a nation, Asher lo yida'a Temol Shilshom. She came to a nation that her nation did not recognize Am Yisrael Mitemol Shilshom. They didn't have a Hakarat HaTov. The Mu'avim, they had a bad memory. When you told them, hey, do you remember who your grandfather is? Yes, our grandfather's Lot. Do you know who our grandfather is? Yeah, your grandfather's Abraham. Hey, do you see a relationship? Do you remember that our grandfather saved your grandfather? No, we don't remember that. Therefore, we're not going to even sell you a glass of water. So Ruth came from a nation, Asher lo yida'a Temol Shilshom. She came from a nation that did not have a Hakarat HaTov. But what did we do to Ruth? We said, Baruch Abba. We accepted her. However, the Yisrael, the Jewish people, Ba'u l'Mitzrim, they came to the Egyptians, Asher lo yada'u Temol Shilshom. The Egyptians have a small memory. What did the Egyptians do? Yosef. They can't even remember what happened yesterday and the day before. We came to a nation, Asheloyad, the words Temol Shilshom is a synonym for Hakarat HaTov. Somebody that remembers Temol Shilshom is somebody that has gratitude. But the Egyptians, Elahim Temol Shilshom, they don't remember. So you know what God said? Lachen yatsa mehem Moshe. Let Moshe Rabbeinu come. Midah keneged midah. Let Moshe come, who was raised in Egypt. And now Paro's going to say, hey, you sat on my lap, now you come and beat me up. Is that, what's good for you is good for me. Midah keneged midah. My grandfather Yosef built this place, and you're making us practice what you preach, Pharaoh. So that's why God tells Moshe, when Moshe Rabbeinu says, Gam mitimon mishvivim vishlchom, I remember what happened yesterday, I'm not an ingrate. God says, don't worry. Take the stick, and it turns into a snake. Pharaoh's a snake, Pharaoh doesn't have a chenat hatov either. Therefore you're the best one to teach him the taste of his own medicine. The Gemara says in Berachot, this is a new way of learning. That you're right, it was not hakarat hatov, but precisely because of that, Haida says, that's where you're going to go. Let Pharaoh burn now. Let him feel what it means to get become a victim of that. The Gemara says in Berachot, and I'll conclude because I have to go. If somebody doesn't bow in the Berachav Modim in the Amidah, after he passes away, after how many years, his spine will turn into a snake. I'll get nervous. What does it mean, but? I'll get nervous from the drama. What does it mean that the snake, why shouldn't the spine turn into a snake? Because the Berachav Modim is the Berachav Hakarat HaTov. Modim, we thank you, God. Somebody that doesn't bow in Modim, that means he doesn't show Hakarat HaTov. So God says, the spine that doesn't bow in Modim will turn to, because that's the anthem of the Naval. The anthem of the one that's an ingrate is a Nahash. And therefore the lesson over here is very strong. We have to be very, very strong on this Midah. Hakarat HaTov to spouses that do for each other all day long. For parents. Kibud Av V'Em. The mother tells the child, honey, go up, says, get my slippers. No, not now. Not now. I carried you in my stomach for 9 months. I didn't ask you to pay me for that. I had morning sickness for 3 months. I had labor pains for... I didn't ask you for anything. I'm asking you to bring my slippers. Hakarat HaTov you cannot have. Ashelo yadat Yosef. This is a problem. The children have to respect their parents. Not only when their parents are 70 and 80 years old, 90 years old. When they're 40 and when they're 50 and when they're 60, also their parents, the children have to respect them. Because the parents get older. The children always look at their parents as giburim, but as parents get older, they get more tired, they get more weak. Even 40, 50, 60, they get older. They don't have to be 95 years old to become an old parent. The children don't recognize it. The children think that the parent always has to do for them. But at a certain point, it has to turn. That's a hakarat hatov, it's simple math. No matter what we do for our parents, we'll never be able to pay them back. No matter what a child will do, we can never pay back a parent for all the hard work. But it's very important because this can lead to something worse. It starts by not getting your mother's slippers. And then all of a sudden it leads to not going to shul. You understand? Because Hashem lo yada'at Yosef leads to lo yada'ati et Hashem. There's a direct relationship between this midah and the midah of emunah and God. Because if you cannot show gratitude to a human being, it eventually leads to not showing gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, it hits us at the core. And this is what Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned. He's asking me, God, to affect my emunah. God said, no, this is different. This is me, that can make me that. Don't worry. This is going to make Kiddush Hashem. I'm specifically looking for this. I'm looking for somebody that was righted by the Egyptians, and now he's going to wrong them. Because that's exactly what happened to Paro. He was righted by Yosef, and he wronged the Jewish people. Let him see what it feels like to be on the other side. And after Moshe Rabbeinu saw the snake, he says, go take that exact stick and turn it into a snake in front of Paro, and tell him that's exactly why you were chosen. Yiratzon, we should be zocher, to be makir tov, and then Be'el Shem it will enhance our emunah, like the Pasuk says, tov lehodot ladonai, uzamel shelcha alyon.